This is 836 Street, coming off of 516. Your place is right over here. David Lashley lives right here.
Don't want Larry Lashley?
Larry Lashley's son, David.
Whatever Leon, make it happen.
You can help him.
I normally let y'all finish talking, but I caught y'all off guard this morning, didn't
I? Well,
before we get started, Mr. Mark won't be here today. He's got technical family.
So
he called me, and I told him not to worry about it. He needs to take care of his family. So, but let's get started. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this beautiful day that you give us, dear Lord. Lord, just thank you for the ones come out to our meeting today. Lord, just guide and direct each and every one of us and help us make the right decisions for our county. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right. Need approval of the minutes for the regular meeting November 16th.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
The vouchers.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor? Any constitutional officer here would like to speak? Nope. Need a move in the public hearing.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Okay. Sorry, y'all. I realized those up first, and we'll get up get it done. We have here the Dix County Development Code. Come on. Just go through this, and then when we return, I'll read the entire ordinance to y'all. This Town Land Development Code as required by Section 163.2202 to all statutes consistent with the Dixie County Comprehensive Plan requirements, the Land Development Code adopted in September 1990, and all subsequent amendments adopt Dixie County Land Development Code consisting of the following parts. Article 1, General Provisions. Article 2, Zoning. Article 3, Special Districts. Article 4, Natural Resources Protection Standards. Article 5, Adequate Public Facilities. Article 6, Developmental Options. Article 7, Developmental Standards. Article, and there is a typo there, it says 7 again. I think that should read actually 8. Signs. Article 9, Agencies, Boards, and Officers. Article 10, Administration. Article 11, Interpretation, Exceptions, Equitable Relief, and Enforcement. Article 12, Definition. This will be the first reading of this, the entire reading. I'll read when we return to the hearing. But we'll need to take a vote on that. Mr. Lynn, you're going to read the next one. You want me to read it? An ordinance of the Dix County Board of Dix County Commissioners, Cross City, Florida, repealing and replacing its Land Development Code ordinance number. Miss Bell, I didn't have that number. I'll have to get to that. and all subsequent amendments in accordance with the provisions of Chapter 163.3202 Florida statute, which requires regulations to be prepared and adopted, which implements the county plan for the subdivision of land, use of land and water areas subject to seasonal periodic flooding, protection of environmentally sensitive lands designated in the county of Dixie County of Dixie, Florida, comprehensive plan and signage reserve provisions for the protection of portable water well fields, drainage, and stormwater management, ensuring that public facilities and services meet or exceed the standards established in the capital improvement elements of the County of Dixie County Comprehensive Plan, and are available when needed for developmental and provisions for ensuring safe and convenient on-site traffic flow, and considering needed vehicle parking, providing for severability, repealing all ordinance in conflict, and providing an effective date. Whereas Chapter 166 of the Florida statute empowers the County of Dixie to prepare and enforce land development regulations to implement the comprehensive plan of the county. And whereas Section 163.3202 Florida statute, Comprehensive Planning and Land Development Regulation Act, empowers and requires the county to prepare and adopt land development regulations which implement the county's comprehensive plan for the subdivision of land, use of land, areas of seasonal periodic flooding, protection of environmentally sensitive lands designated in the county's comprehensive plan, a signage provision for the protection of potable water, well fields, and stormwater management, ensuring the public facilities and service meet or exceed that is established in the capital improvement element of the county's comprehensive plan and are available when needed for developmental and provisions for ensuring safe and convenient on-site traffic flow and considering needed vehicle parking and establishment of administrative mechanisms and procedures to carry out the provisions of the development regulations. And whereas the Board of Dixie County Commissioners of the County of Dixie, Florida has established as the county's local planning agency, and whereas the local planning agency empowered by the above-cited laws and ordinances and by Section 163.3161, 163.3162, 163.3177, 163.3183, 163.3184, 163.3182, 163.3184, 163.3189, 163.3191, 163.3194, 163.3197, 163.3308, 163.3321, 163.3302, 163.3304, 163.3305, 163.3304, 163.3306, 163.3308, 163.3309, 163.3321, 163.3307, and whereas the local planning agency in the preparation of the land development regulations held the public, required public hearings and numerous public workshops and public meetings and had effectively provided for full public participation, public notification, broad dissemination of proposals and alternative opportunities for written comment, open discussion and consideration in response to public and official comments, and whereas pursuant to Section 163.3174 of Florida statutes, local planning agency held the required public hearing on the land development regulations with due public notice having been provided and having reviewed and considered all comments received during the public hearing and having provided for necessary revisions and recommendations the land development regulations to the county of Dixie County. And whereas pursuant to Chapter 166, Florida statute, the Board of Dixon County Commissioners held two public hearings with due public notice having been provided on the land development regulation. And whereas, the authority, the Board of County Commissioners have determined it is necessary and desirable to adopt the land development regulations to preserve and enhance present advantages, encourage the most appropriate use of land, water, and resources consistent with public interest, overcome present handicaps, and deal effectively with future problems that may result from the use and development of land within the county. Therefore, be it ordained by the Board of County Commissioners, Dixon County, as follows. Section 1, purpose and intent. This ordinance is enacted to carry out the purpose and intent of and exercise the authority set out in Local Government Comprehensive Plan and Development Regulation Act. Sections 163.301, 163.302, 163.301, 163.302, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, 163.301, statutes as amended. Section 2, Title of Land Development Regulations, the County of Dixie County Land Development Regulations dated, and this will be dated as of the second reading, are hereby adopted to include Article 1, General Provisions, B, Article 2, Zoning, C, Article 3, Special Districts, Natural Resource Protection, E, Article 5, Adequate Public Facilities, F, Article 6, Developmental Options, G, Article 7, Developmental Standards, H, Article 8, Signs Reserved, I, Article 9, Board and Agencies, J, Article 10, Administration, K, Article 11, Interpretation Exceptions, F, Equitable Relief and Enforcement, L, Article 12, Definitions, M, Article 13, Adoption of Current Zoning, Atlas dated on the first reading, Article 14, this ordinance provides existing use, lots and structures receive legal non-conforming status as of the date of the adoption, Section 3, Applicability and Effect, the ability and effect of the County Land Development Regulation shall be as provided by the Local Government Comprehensive Plan and Land Development Regulation Act, sections as provided above, Florida statutes as amended, and this ordinance. Section 4, Severability. If any provision or portion of this ordinance or the land development regulation adopted by the Board of Dixie County Commissioners pursuant to this ordinance is declared by any court of competent jurisdiction to be void, unconstitutional, or unenforceable, then all remaining provisions and portion of this ordinance or the land development regulation adopted by the Board of Dixie County Commissioners pursuant to this order shall remain in full force and effect. Section 5, conflict. All ordinances are part ordinances in conflict here with or to the extent of such conflict hereby repealed. Section 6, copy on file, a certified copy of the enacted ordinance as well as certified copies of the county's land development regulations and any amendments thereof shall be filed with the Dixie County Clerk. Section 7, effective date, this ordinance shall become effective upon the final hearing approval by the Board of County Commissioners of Dixie County, Florida. And gentlemen, this one, if you pass it, then will be passed on the first reading. That would be of today's date. Then the next second reading, if passed, would be on the second date, which would be the 21st of December. And then the Board of County Commissioners' signature as the chairman and attestation by the Dixie County Clerk. So.
Chan, I didn't want to interrupt.
You read these out, I could hardly.
I always love when I get
to this. Whoa.
Yeah. I did spare y'all. I did have another one tonight. I spared y'all that one.
Application for amending the official zoning atlas of the land is out there. What this is the Blue Mountain store out there. We have an application in for a Dollar Store site, and they're going to tear down the old Dollar Store and turn that whole corner lot up. And you have the site plan in front of you, but you want to do this. Some of the historical records weren't there. It looks like the zoning was on that parcel, so what we're doing is we're cleaning up the records. So it's an application by working involved to amend the physical zoning atlas for the land development regulations by changing the zoning district of agricultural A4 to commercial neighborhood CN on a parcel described as follows. A parcel of land in Section Township Lands 090913, Dixie County, Florida, being more particularly described as follows. I'm going to read the legal description. The parcel number is 090913-0000-3977-0000. Commence at a female found in the middle of the exchange area at 4795, located in the southeast corner of Section 9 and Green Middle. 16 minutes and 30 seconds west along the east line of the Section 9 for a distance of 40.0 feet to a point in the northern right-of-way line, northeast of 5 Square Avenue, 25th Court right-of-way. Thence, leaving the east line of Section 9, goes south 89 degrees, 00 minutes, 17 seconds west along the northern right-of-way line of the town road 351A, northeast of 5 Square Avenue, for a distance of 5H rebar set cap LB8367 at the intersection of the northern right-of-way line, County Road 351A, northeast 5th Avenue, and the eastern right-of-way line, northeast State Road 351, 100-foot public right-of-way, set point being the point of beginning. From set point beginning, hence go along a curve, concave to the left, having a radius of 291.4 feet, arc of 391.88 feet, minus attended by a quarter depth north, 20 degrees, 43 minutes, 17 seconds east, arc of 391.58 feet, to a 5H rebar set and capped LB8367, thence leaving eastern right-of-way line on the northeast State Road 351, go north 89 degrees, 0 minutes, 28 seconds east for a distance of 165.69 feet to a 5H rebar set cap LB8367. Hence, go south 0 degrees, 16 minutes, 43 seconds east for a distance of 363.74 feet to a 5H rebar set cap LB8367. On the northern right-of-way line of County Road 351 and northeast 512 Avenue, thence goes south 89 degrees, 00 minutes, 17 seconds west along the northern right-of-way line of the County Road 351A, northeast 512 Avenue for a distance of 302.39 feet to a 5H rebar set cap LB8367 set point at the beginning of the beginning of Dixie County Florida. Said track contains 1.873 acres. 1,597 square feet, and that's in District 1, Jody Stevenson.
And you have any opposition?
We had a couple phone calls, and the concerns was in the curve right there, but we shared with them the site plans that were submitted that the entrance is off the side road, and there were no complaints. You have two representatives here, Brian Brown, representing the development.
Okay. Did y'all, did Mr. Barnes, did you talk to him, Wayne Barnes?
We talked to several people, sir.
Okay. All righty.
So y'all gonna come off a side road? Come off the side?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm Brian Brown with Engineering Services. I'll be doing civil site engineering for this project. But we will be coming off I-12. We did meet with FDOT. It's not their roads, they're county roads. But we will have plenty of separation between the intersection.
Okay. All righty. Well, I guess we ain't got no opposition, then make a motion to approve.
Okay. We got a motion, Mr. Speaks, to approve. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We need to go back to the board.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye. Gentlemen, we have ordinance 2311. That was one that was just previously read to y'all.
2311.
I'm sorry. Okay. That's a different one. Right? Okay. All right. The 20, need you to vote on the 2023-130 to start off with. Yeah. I'll pay for it. Yes, will be a vote just to approve the first reading.
So this is just a vote?
Yeah, we just take it on the first reading.
Okay, so I need a motion for the first reading.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Wood?
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. I didn't think you could vote on it until after you got done the second reading.
We're just voting on the first reading. Then we're going to have to re-vote.
Just the title next.
I didn't think you voted.
Anyway. Yes, sir.
The first reading's been approved.
Yes.
But then my next question is, and I was getting the spelling of my name. Did you have a public hearing?
Yes.
That quick. And then my next question is, Mr. Chairman, would you please ask Madam Attorney to please send me the text between all the numbers and when you said be it ordained, there's some things where we had all these public hearings and blah, 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 very great words, but I didn't write them fast enough.
Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'll get you a copy of it. I'll send it over to you.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam.
Oh, you're very welcome. Gentlemen, the next ordinance that's listed there is the 2311. I'm out going to be asking y'all to table it temporarily. It did not get published due to the holidays.
Motion.
And so we need to do it on the 21st.
Motion.
We got a motion to the table. Mr. Osteen, second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Thank you very much.
Miss Monica. Your turn.
Good morning. My name is Monica Miles. I'm a public affairs specialist from the United States Small Business Administration. The SBA wants to make sure that the homeowners, renters, businesses, and nonprofits in the county are aware that if they were affected by Hurricane Idalia that occurred this past summer, they can apply for a low-interest rate disaster loan with the U.S. Small Business Administration. When it comes to disasters, the SBA is able to provide disaster loans to homeowners, renters, businesses, large and small, as well as most private nonprofit organizations as well. So if insurance proceeds and perhaps a grant from FEMA is not sufficient for someone to recover from Hurricane Idalia, then the applicant can apply to the U.S. Small Business Administration to see if they qualify for a disaster loan. Dixie County was one of the primary counties that was declared a disaster, so again, all four of those categories of applicants are eligible to apply. The deadline technically had already expired, however, the SBA did issue a grace period. So the deadline to apply with respect to property damage is December 14th, 2023. And property damage for a homeowner could be the residence itself, needs to be in Dixie County or one of the other primary counties that were declared a disaster. And the primary residence would also include such things as the driveway, things fixed to the property. The homeowner and the person who rents their home in Dixie County could also apply for personal property damage as well. So that would be their furniture, their clothing, a vehicle, any contents of their home, yard, equipment, things of that nature. They could apply for a disaster loan as well with respect to that. For the home, the real estate, the maximum loan amount is $500,000. And for the personal property, the contents is the maximum loan is $100,000. Businesses and nonprofits, the private nonprofit organizations, are also eligible to apply for the property damage loans. And theirs is the maximum amount of the loan is $2 million. Based upon what damage was sustained and what the applicant would be able to repay over a period of time. The loans do not require any kind of application fee. During the first year of the loan, no interest accrues. The first payment is not due on the loan until 1 year after the first draw or funds were provided to the SBA to the applicant. So that gives the person, the applicant, some period of time in which to try to recover without having the burden of having to pay the loan. If an applicant wants to start repaying the loan earlier, they can certainly do so. Also, if a person applies for a loan and decides later on their insurance has come in, and that's going to be enough for them, or they're not going to need the loan, or they're not going to need all of the amount of the loan that the SBA has qualified for them to obtain, they don't have to take it. They can ask for something less. They can actually ask to increase it as well. The SBA will try to see if they qualify for more funds if they make that request. But there's no requirement that they go forward with the loan, if that's the case. Now, for the loan terms are usually up to 30 years to pay back the loan. For a homeowner or a person renting their home, the loan rates start at 2.5%. For a nonprofit organization, the loan rate is as low as 2.375%, and for a business, it's 4%. In addition, the SBA does not request collateral for the loan for loans that are $25,000 or less. We do ask for collateral once it goes over $25,000. However, if the applicant doesn't have any collateral, the loan can still go forward, but the agency does make that request. In order to apply for the loan, you can go to sba.gov/disaster. And there's different little questions on that page where you state the state that you're from, you look for Hurricane Idalia, and then what type of applicant are you? Are you applying on behalf of your home, either you own it or you rent it, a business, or a nonprofit organization? In addition, for businesses and nonprofits, we have an additional type of loan. It's called an economic injury disaster loan. And that's when a business, they may or may not have sustained any physical damage to their business, or including their equipment and supplies and things of that nature. So that's not required. However, if they believe that they have sustained an economic injury as a result of the disaster, say their business had to close a few days because the roads were closed, they couldn't get their supplies in, they or their employees or their customers were not able to come in to open the business, things of that nature, they may have sustained a loss of income. Some of their customers might have canceled some contracts they had because the customer themselves could no longer afford it because they were dealing with the disaster. Things of that nature, they can apply for an economic injury disaster loan. And again, the maximum amount for a business or a nonprofit is $2 million for all kinds of loans that they would ask for from the SBA. So that would be the property damage loans, whatever that would come to, an economic injury disaster loan as well. And then we have another loan type that some applicants are asking for, called mitigation, where the and that could be for a homeowner or a business. where they want to build back better to avoid being possibly damaged by another hurricane or storm or something of that nature. They might want to get a sump pump, a retaining wall, different types of things people come up with. They can bring that idea to the SBA. The SBA has a unit that will look into it, and they might be able to get funds for that as well. So again, for that business that wants to apply for the mitigation loan, it's again in that $2 million limit amount. For a homeowner who wants to apply for a mitigation loan, it's an additional loan. So it's not the $500,000, it's not the $100,000, but it's 20% of the verified property damage that the homeowner sustained, and that would be a separate loan for mitigation. And then lastly, there's refinancing is sometimes a possibility. And any applicant who wanted to try to get a refinance for their property that's being involved, then they need to just talk to the loan officer about that. Hear details of just kind of an individual situation with respect to that. And the SBA so far has provided more than $75 million of loan approvals for the state of Florida with respect to Hurricane Idalia. We want to make sure that people are aware of this situation. The deadline is pretty quick, but it can be done. You can submit that application very quickly. And if the agency needs additional documentation from the applicant, we'll ask you for that, but you do want to have your application officially submitted on or before December 14th with respect to property damage. Now, again, back to that EIDL loan, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. That loan is designed to try to keep a business in business so that if they're not able to pay their ordinary and necessary expenses, then that's where that loan fund is actually addressed towards. And so the deadline for that is not until May 31st, 2024, because that could be an ongoing situation for that particular business. The law has been always having a much longer deadline in which to apply. And the applicants who's approved for that type of loan can get it through multiple drawers, and you know, as the situation with their business changes, their nonprofit organization as well. The SBA does try to disperse the funds fairly quickly. A lot of times, if there's like a stalemate, if the applicant feels that they haven't heard from the agency in a period of time, usually because they haven't turned in some document that the agency requested and they forgot about it. So they should contact the agency feel free to contact the agency to get an update on the status of their application. But ordinarily, the agency does try to make the decision very quickly. We're at a high 90% rate in terms of processing the applications that we have now. And once a loan is approved, and the first that the applicant has signed the loan document, the first loan goes out in about 5 business days or less. So that's our goal, and pretty much we are able to keep up with that. So that's pretty much it for the disaster loan program.
One question.
Well, actually, maybe a couple.
Today's the 7th. You know, sorry, I'm on the business page for arsenic, I have the readers, but here's a question. 7 more days to do this. I'll add to this, you know, what's already existing. But if I was to click on that link that exists today, poof, and I go to that point, and what are the odds of being able to complete the process to say, yes, the application is approved, maybe not the loan? I mean, can you approve the application or not the loan?
Well, you're submitting the application,
right,
and then the application review process takes place, and then it would be a
confirmation of application submission is what I'm looking for.
Right, that's it. Yes.
And it's pretty likely.
Yes.
You guys have a great record of doing that.
Of processing the application.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You send me a note, dear Jeff, you've completed your application.
I believe that people do get some type of notice. I'm not 100% about if it's that detailed or not.
Because you don't want to test it.
Now, when you go to the website, earlier this week I looked at the website, and I brought it to the agency's attention, but when you see this one there, and you come up with Florida and Adalia, and that you want to submit an application, it says the deadline expired. So you ignore that. If it's still up there like that, I didn't have a chance to check this morning. You want to just go ahead and go forward with the application. Just look for the application and click on that and submit your application. But at least in the beginning, they did have that on the website. It's like that. So hopefully that's changed, but don't be bothered by it.
And just to clarify, it's SBA.gov?
Yeah, SBA.gov/disaster.
Okay.
And you can also call the SBA, 1-800-659-2955. If anybody is hearing impaired, they can call 711 and they will be transmitted to the agency. Okay. And just one little last thing I wanted to say. I saw something from FEMA once that said that businesses that are involved in a disaster, about 40% of them never recover. So they just go out of business. And that's something that the SBA is trying to avoid with this loan program. Of course, people don't really want to get the loans necessarily, but we definitely want our businesses to be able to recover and be resilient from this disaster. Okay, thank you,
ma'am. Miss Sheila, anti-drug.
How are you doing, Miss Sheila?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. Just a quick update that during the holiday times seems to be a time that we encounter a lot of requests for recovery services and a lot of requests for assistance through our recovery specialist that actually works in our court system to try to do placement, and we just are diligent to make sure that we're continuing to reach out to the community, train our new law enforcement officers, and be involved in community trainings and providing services.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Sheila, for everything y'all do.
Thank you.
Mr. Steve.
Good morning, Board.
Good morning, sir.
First, Mr. Chairman, actually, I'd like to have a personal request. This being December 7th, and I'm a veteran, I would like to have a moment of silence for our service members that have lost their lives back in 1941. Morning again, and currently we have 933 active accounts. This is again down. We lost four. This is again due to the storm. We probably have another 20 to 30 that have not reported to us. Right now, we have completed 86 complete reinstallation of grinders, which leaves us 889 left. I have been in touch with FDEM. They are, again, agreeing to pay for some installations. The amount is still up in the air. We're hoping somewhere between $500 and $600 they'll agree to pay for, but they haven't given a total amount yet. Unfortunately, the last week and a half, our installations have really slowed down. We have been riding with FEMA. FEMA has been taking pictures of the grinder lids and control boxes and GPS locations. So that we have to have one of our personnel with them at all times. Next week, they will be doing it with meters. Okay. So our installation process has very much slowed down. Back on October 1st, we have notified our state auditor that we were ready for our audit. He has yet to come pick up our paperwork, so we still have our fingers crossed that he's going to come. That's the first time ever we've been ready on October 1st. He still has to pick us up. Other than that, we're still rocking and rolling and keep going.
Yes, sir. Thank you for everything y'all do down there.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bailey.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Just a couple quick updates for y'all. The Old Town Fire Station actually advertised this morning, so building plans, civil plans are completed, and that bid opening will be January 16th here in the boardroom. So we'll be going through that advertising process here over the next month. The library roof, we will be complete with the roof repair over the next week or two. I think myself and Leon and Paul are going to meet after this just to kind of discuss how the county, how we need to coordinate those two together with the county doing the HVAC work now. The biggest thing is the HVAC work needs to be done kind of before we do the roof repair, just to maintain HVAC service to the library, but we'll get together on that, and then we'll just need the construction easements for that that we'll be working with Ms. Chain on. But we should, all that getting complete, we should be ready to advertise that at the first of the year. So that will be going out the door. The 95th and 97th, we had a field review last week. After completing our survey, so we'll start getting 30% plans together, but for the most part, that proposed typical section right now is looking like 10-foot lanes with 2-foot shoulders and a shallow swell or ditch on one side just to kind of handle or improve the drainage the drainage out there. It won't necessarily drain anywhere just because it's so flat. It'll basically just get that water out of away from those homes and off the road and be a lot better than what it is now. Northeast 82nd Avenue, we submitted that yesterday to DOT for review and approval to advertise. So we'll be looking for comments back from them over the next 30 days or so. We'll address those, and then we'll be ready to advertise that more than likely at the first of the year as well. The Sheriff's Office, the evidence building, we're still finishing up the survey, but we did get some additional comments from the Sheriff's Office as far as that floor plan goes, so we're incorporating that, and we'll be getting that revised floor plan back to them for review for moving forward and incorporating everything into those plans. And just a couple of miscellaneous items. We updated the stop scrap road estimates and sent those to the County Manager's Office, and we completed the damage assessments and got those to Mr. Gardner as far as the reimbursements from FEMA. So that is all I have, unless y'all have any questions for me.
Any questions?
I don't have any.
We appreciate y'all.
Thank y'all very much.
Thank you. Mr. Locklear. Mrs. Locklear.
Hi. Yes, I'm Natalie. I'm filling in for him today. We just have an update on Palm Drive CEI. The signage was complete last week, and now we're just waiting on FDOT to do our final walk.
Okay.
So that's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Miss Cindy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple of things. On December 14th, at 3 o'clock, we'll have a Three Rivers Regional Library board meeting at our library. Good mark your calendars for that. You're all welcome to attend. You don't have to, but you're all welcome to this year. And then on Wednesday, December 20th, I'd like to close at 3 o'clock so I can have a policy review with all of my staff.
You need a motion for that?
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Cindy, for taking care of us in the library.
Thank you.
Mr. Freeman.
Yeah, I've got the first version of the LDRs. We're still working on the code enforcement side. I reached out to Manatee County, Columbia County, talked to some people that are supposed to be specialists. It's kind of confusing on the prosecution of this, of which one's doing it the right way and the best way. But we're trying to make sure when we do this that it's going to be right, that, you know, we're not going to get appeals on us and stuff that's going to cost us more money. We don't have a good answer yet. We're still working on it, but it's in progress. That's all I got.
Just take your time, and when you bring it, when you find the right answer, then we'll get them.
Mm-hmm. If you got anything for me, let me know.
Thank you for everything.
There's plenty of campers I'm after.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Mr. Hunt, Mr. Chauncey,
Mr. Steve, I need an address from you before you leave today.
Okay.
On one of the sites you're working on.
Okay. Thank
you. Johnson's not here. Mr. Leon, you got anything else? Okay. Mr. Brown. Well, bigger, thicker Brown.
First thing is the budget. We gave you all a copy. We had to move it to the next $130,000. So, if we stay on track with that, we'll be over budget.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a great job.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One or two other things I have. I wanted to remind y'all the Christmas party is this Saturday from 5 to 8 at Camp Anderson. We'll be having brisket, ribs, pork, and chicken. Should be good. The second thing, the Christmas in Dixie next Saturday at the high school, is from 5 to 9.
Next Saturday, I thought it was
Friday.
15.
Yeah. Next Friday, we have more vendors this year than last year, so we had 2,000 people last year, so we did turn out. So it's going to be that good, a little better plan.
Good deal.
I know some of y'all will be out of town.
Yeah, I'm going to be out of town, make sure y'all come get the grill, whatever.
Yeah. Mark said he's going to cook.
Okay. Mark's got a grill, so. All right.
No, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I might need to get up with you, Mr. Brown, and whatever you're doing to get in shape, I might need to. Mr. Scott. Mr. Scott's not here. Nope. Miss Gail's not here. Miss Holly's not here. Miss Angie.
One quick thing. You all should have a copy from NOVA. The report from the 20 community center. Just showing where initially they are saying that they are looking at replacing the building versus repairing it. We are waiting to hear from our insurance company on what that means dollar-wise to us and what they suggest. They also mentioned to me if there was any historical precedence on that building. I just remember it since I was 10 years old. I know it was moved in there. That's all I know about it. I don't know. Do you know any history on it? UK? Yeah, I don't know either. I just thought it was moved in there. It was a school building at one time. There is no cement footings on it. It's not attached to anything. It's just sitting on blocks. It's a thousand wonders that it's even still there.
Yeah.
It's in pretty rough shape. So by the next meeting, we should have more information. But I did just want to give you that information to be looking at and just to know that we'll have that next meeting.
Okay.
Unless you have anything else for me.
Thank you, Ms. Angie.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Paul.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman and other commissioners, we start to the manager's report.
Yes, sir.
Surprisingly, it's relatively short on this meeting. So we'll start off with the action items. We request board approval to establish electrical service at Don and Swanee, this was at the request of Commissioner Hatch to be able to provide that electrical service.
Motion.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye. Next is request board approval to purchase a 2007 Sterling 50-foot bucket truck in the amount of $35,000 to be used at the road department for different projects.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second.
Just we got enough money. Discussion. We got in the budget for that.
It's coming out of Hutch's.
It's in the budget under the machinery and equipment for this fiscal year, and they will be using part of that line item for the purpose of the
vehicle. Any more discussion?
Who was the second
one? Mr. Wood was the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Number three, we request board approval of the annual certified budget for the anthropod, which is mosquito control, as presented.
Motion.
Second.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
And then number four, we request board approval of the garbage and C&D can hauling services agreement between Dixie County and Dixie Dumpster LLC, and this has been reviewed and approved by Madam Attorney.
Motion. We got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. Any discussion?
Question. What is that?
It's for can hauling services. We put an advertisement and a bid out last month, and it's on an as-needed basis for our solid waste department. There's been times past that our roll-off trucks have been down and our cans are stocked.
But potentially we could be paying them for the service before
they can
do it. Yeah. Would that be the basis for them to pick up a can and a roll-off dock and take it to the transfer station to empty? In the event that our truck can't.
Do we go out in the budget?
It would be under solid waste for under operating.
But we didn't know about it, so...
But the only time that's going to be utilized is if all of our trucks are down.
Right. Yeah. It's on an as-needed basis, and it's stated in the, in the contract as needed based on the request of the solid waste coordinator.
So we got, do we have a motion second on that one? Yeah, well, that was a discussion. We had a motion, we had a second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
See, y'all got me all messed up.
So under your informational items, let the board know that as a whole, we have, we will be placing an ad from the Board of County Commissioners for a Christmas reading in the paper. Ms. Cindy had already informed you about the library closure request on the 20th. And then also a reminder for the annual safety luncheon that will be held down at the school board meeting room on December the 21st at 12 o'clock. We'll definitely need your guys' help in preparing the steaks and additional things that morning, as well as some of the financial help for securing some door prizes and all, which all of you have already been generous on that part. One other item that Commissioner Hatch wanted me to bring up is, as Mr. Ferguson had mentioned about the reminder for the Christmas in Dixie, the board has agreed to provide the hot dogs and the supplies for that. Commissioner Hatch will be picking those items up. He just wanted me to ask how you guys wanted to help contribute to that. Do you want to do it from your board account that you contribute to every month, or do you want to do that on an individual basis?
How much we got in our account?
A lot.
A lot. Well,
you got more than enough.
Okay,
do it under board account.
Just do it under board account.
Mr. Hatch picks up those items in, he'll provide them to the board office and just have them issue a check back to him.
Yep, that sounds good.
Okay. Other than that, gentlemen, unless you have any questions for me.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Paul.
Miss
Watson.
Just briefly, gentlemen. We have been working on this opioid settlement. We've talked about it quite a bit. We did have another meeting with the handlers, which is the Lutheran Services for DCF. it is what it is. Y'all didn't hire me because I'm always politically correct on verbiage. But anyway, That being said, we need to determine, I guess, how the board would like this money dispersed. This year, there's roughly $175,000 plus. We've got at least three agencies, I think, that are wanting a portion of this. It may be more, but the main ones being the EMS with their paramedicine program. You've got your Drug Coalition, and you've got the Sheriff's Office. Now, I know I've heard from the Drug Coalition and from Darren, the shorter, smaller version. he wants some of it. So the sheriff has not put his bid in. However, I anticipate that he would throw his hat into that ring. Also, it may just be because he wasn't aware that...
Can those funds be used anywhere?
Or they are very much curtailed on what they can be used for. Those three agencies right there... you know, the sheriff can't use it for certain things, neither can Drug Coalition or anything else. But as a general rule, those three agencies there are pre-vetted for these funds to be able to go to them. Like the paramedicine program, what they do is very much in line. What the Drug Coalition does is very much in line. The sheriff's office, he would have to use it for some kind of recovery or prevention, but... Even salaries, they said even vehicles, different things could be covered in it. The biggest problem, I think, facing the board is how do we want to divide this pot? Now, $175,000 is not pocket change, but when we go to dealing with agencies of this size, that's not a lot of money. My recommendation is that y'all consider doing it by percentage. And the reason I do that, this is going to be a reoccurring amount. It's not, every year is not going to be $175,000, okay? This first year is our largest year. That's our biggest chunk of change that we're going to get.
So that'd be
so
about...
Every year after that, it's going to dwindle.
So if you divided it three ways, that'd be 58 per...
33 and a third percent each. You know, and maybe you don't want to divide it quite that way. That's up to y'all. I mean, again, I know our sheriff does have a tremendously larger budget than, say, our Drug Coalition. And
so
even if it's
not going to be used for anything like for help for prevention or anything like that. So, could we divert some of that, do it a full way, some of it to code enforcement, get rid of some of these, try to help get rid of these labs, these camper sites?
That would be something I would have to vet through. The Lutheran Services to see if that's an approved service. I am hesitant to think it is because it's not. It has to be directly related. Paramedicine, you can show the relation there. Drug Coalition, you can show the relation there because they're treating the person type thing.
The sheriff's got more of a budget for what he needs than the other two.
He has a fairly substantial budget compared to your Drug Coalition, who even compared to EMS has a smaller budget. But, you know, you've got, and that's what I say, that's a challenge for you gentlemen.
Yeah.
That I've talked to y'all to tell me I want this one to have, you know, 50% or 30% or whatever. But that is something that we do need to address because these are things, they have to document every cost, of course. That goes without saying. It's very much a transparent agency is oversight as far as if they spend it on salary, then they have to show they pay chain of salary of this amount, and they don't pay me just for clarifying. But, you know, whoever that goes to, and they have to show what they pay and what their role is and everything else. If they buy Narcan, they have to show what they did. Everything has to be itemized. They have to submit a budget to this Lutheran Service overseeing bunch that says we're going to take this, you know, $40,000 that the commission said we could have, and we're going to spend it on XYZ. And then that has to be approved before they can get the money. Then once they get the money, then they have to document that that's actually what they spent it on. But, again, what I'm coming to you gentlemen with is saying, I've got the Drug Coalition, and I've got...
The Drug Coalition, where do y'all get most of y'all's funding from?
We are funded primarily by grants. The grant that I was funded under to provide the Narcan and the education in the schools and like that, it expired the end of November, so we no longer have that funding. We do get funding through drug-free communities, and most of ours is grants, but we will lose two major grants this year. So for us to continue doing that, like right now, I'm temporarily being kept on through CCA funds, which is a community coalition. So, but most of ours is education, recovery, and prevention. We have to cover those three scopes of practice, or we cannot exist as a coalition.
I think we need to divert most of the funding to that side because you're getting it on the ground floor working up, and they're not. I mean, the other EMS and Darby and them got budgets already set forth that they're working with somewhat, and they're just on a whim on whether they're going to get a grant or not get a grant. And they're attacking at the ground floor with the kids working their way up. So, I mean, that's where I think we need to put most of it.
So, John, comment on that.
Yep. The community paramedicine program is completely grant funded. We have the same grant that they did, and it ran out last year. I was able to secure some one-time funding this year that was $50,000. That program, the budget, we cut the budget a ton because we had equipment from before when we had the bigger grant. The budget for this year is $110,268, I think is the budget. We only have $50,000, so we have almost a $100,000 shortfall that we're going to have to pay out of EMS for fire, but we really can't use fire funds for that because of the statute. So we were almost $61,000 short, and we basically were going to have to eat that out of EMS to keep the program going. Next year we won't have that one-time funding that we received this year. So I can tell you this year we're $61,000 short. We'll be trying to figure out how to get $110,000 to sustain the program because as of right now, currently, there's no billing mechanism for community paramedicine. They're working on it. They're trying to push it through some statutes so that we can bill Medicare and Medicaid, but currently, we don't charge anything for those services. We're not able to by statute. So that program is pulled through EMS. And fortunately, the first 3 years of the program, we have the three-year grant, the same one that's tied in with them. But like I said, it expired last year. We were trying to figure out how we were going to keep the program, shut it down. I was able to secure a $50,000 grant, but like I said.
So you need 61.
About $60,268, $69.
And the sheriff's got the most.
How much shortfall did y'all have?
Well, I can't say for sure, but we do work extremely close with EMS. A lot of our programs, we work cooperatively in. When we get a call from them that they've had a situation that needs to be addressed, we go in, so we're follow-up. So, and our grant, we did apply for a grant that would have been a one-year grant, but we just received word that we were not funded. We went along with Jasper. Jasper and us applied for that grant out of Philadelphia, and neither one of us were funded. So at this point, we do not have any opioid funding available in our grants at this time, and there's none to apply for. But we do work very close with the paramedicine program.
So, Ms. King, I've got a question. At what point do we need to have these funds allocated by the board? We have enough time to where we could get with each of these agencies and kind of lay out their needs and what it would take to help support them moving forward so we can bring back some information to the board so they can make an educated decision.
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
I have not got a stop date on it, but they did tell us, you know, it's yearly. I do know we're coming to the end of this year,
mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the reason I've kind of pushed. They have not because we've just, as you know, they've just really got on board with us here in the last 30, 45 days, even letting us know, hey, these are who we need to reach out to, and this mm-hmm. is what we can do with it. So we are working to try to get that. I'm not saying we absolutely must make that decision today.
But if we don't,
I would definitely like for y'all to give me some direction by the next meeting because, I mean, we are we're pressing to the end of the year. No news there. But, you know, this is something that we don't want to leave on the table because we desperately need it.
No, we don't need to lose it.
I think it'd be best to just wait until the next meeting, give Paul and them a chance to research it and for us to research it on our own to see which is the...
Yeah, I need some more information.
Yeah. Oh, I'll say the sheriff needs to be here and y'all all work together and then we'll make decisions, see what y'all all need and work together on. And that way we'll divide it that way.
They sent us the packet of the paperwork that we need to complete. It's a proposal of your program, basically explaining what your program is, what goals, what are the expectations, what it does for opioid, you know, treatment or awareness or whatever, and then a line item budget and a contract. The only thing I don't have done is the contract because Chana and I can't finish the contract until we have, because it asks for a set dollar amount in that contract for our portion. But I will, at the next meeting, I will bring you the proposal and the line item budget so that you can review it, because I already have all of that completed in my office right now. I mean, I could email it to Chana and all of
that. So the sheriff's department ain't got back with you on this, have they?
And to be honest with you, we've had two meetings with them. The first one, they didn't want all the players there because they just kind of wanted, you know, myself and a few, Paul and basically the county manager's office.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked us to put it out a little bit further and allow people to come. I think we dropped the ball on that because we didn't understand they wanted everybody to appear. Darren, being Darren, was there. I think Drug Coalition and the sheriff's office actually didn't get that because Darren's been working also independently trying to chase this money,
mm-hmm.
You know, is a fair statement, I believe, because he's been very diligent in trying to get this money. And we knew it was there. We just couldn't get up with who was – we knew DCF was going to be the other side. But they had never actually appointed or let us know who our contact person was. So we eventually did get the contact person, and we have been working with them, and we've had two Zoom meetings with them. Trying to determine. They have told us basically what Matt just said is, and we asked them, give us a template of what you want, because we didn't want to have, you know, three different templates coming from Dixie County saying, this is our plan. Like, give me something that you want us to fill in the blanks so that when you get it, you can look at, you know, line X and compare all three of them rather than trying to have to hunt it. So they did send us that. We just got that. Darren's got a copy of it. I don't think Drug Coalition or Sheriff has actually got a copy of it as of yet. Again, Darren got in on the initial email. So that's the reason he kind of got to jump on anybody. We're not favoring him. It just actually means that he's been a little bit more proactive as far as that goes. And I'm not citing anybody not being proactive.
Y'all need how much? 61?
Yes, sir. A little under
61,000. Just say 61 you'll be good with.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then if we match that same 61, would you be good with 61?
Yes, we would. We would be glad.
Very happy?
To persist, yeah. Anything you could give us would help us to continue to fund. As from the first of the year to the end of November, we've had 79 overdoses. But we've been able to give out over 2,800 Narcan to people within our community, and I know EMS has too, so that we can help. To save lives.
Hang on, so these 175 minus 61
22.
Minus 61. That would leave the sheriff 53,000.
Let's do it.
That's a pretty equal split. It's right. That's almost a 33.
And I'm just saying, you know, the sheriff's got the biggest budget out of the other two.
Yep.
Correct?
And he may have funding. That's something, you know, that we probably may need to talk to him because where he would be able to spend it, in my opinion, without any questions, probably on, you know, like a drug task force or, you know, some drug testing and stuff like this. So he may already have funding for that. So he may be able to say, hey, I don't need as much. Give it more back to the community.
Okay, we got one young man on the back.
People don't give away money.
Well, we're going to go, I think we just get Paul researching, let's research it, give it to the sheriff and see where he's at, and then go from there, being, because it sounded like they wasn't totally aware of what was going on and was not in on the ground floor beginning of this
to be
setting up to get funding. And I don't want anybody to feel like they was left out or, not included in something like this.
And there may be other agencies, like I said, that may be able to qualify to get some of the money. I don't want to say absolutely those are the only three because that's not what's been presented. I mean, I could see where maybe even our health department or somebody like that may be able to say, hey, I've got interest too. So I think that's something, we are late getting started as far as that goes. If the deadline's the end of the year, I will give y'all a drop dead date. And
I think we can try to get something together before the next meeting.
I don't think they're going to yank our funds back because we've not used them because they've had some issues too, which you shared with us as far as trying to figure out how all of this was going to be dispersed. This is our first year.
I think Miss Jackie's got a question.
I think we've gotten out of the loop on this funding.
The funding won't even come to the county directly. They will be in contracts, and I'm sorry, Miss Jackie, on that. The way they explained it to us is that the Lutheran Services is going to handle all of this.
The money that we've got already. That little bit of money we already got. We've got subject to this conversation.
And that's the reason we're having so many problems. It's because the Lutheran Services now, because we're the economic county that we are,
we were appointed the Department of Children and Families Act, who was appointed over us, but it ended up being the Lutheran Services group, branch of that.
They indicated to us in our last meeting
that they were going to go into direct contracts with the agency receiving the funds, which takes the accounting and all of that out of your hands, which, doesn't put the burden on the county. That's the reason they've done these overseers, handlers, or whatever, terms they use. And because that way they have to account. Just like I said, paramedicine program, they have to get a contract directly with the Lutheran Services. It says they've got $61,000 and they're going to spend this amount on a vehicle, this amount on gas, or whatever it is. And I don't know that gas would be covered, but they did say the vehicles and all would be covered. But they will itemize it. And when they itemize it, they'll go through what Matt has submitted, and they'll say, gas, no. Salary for the paramedicine person, yes.
And then you'll know.
I can spend that money there. I can't spend it here. But it takes some of that away from you. But the money you've already got, again,
there's been,
and that's what the Lutheran Services has kind of indicated to us. It's been a learning curve for them, too, as far as trying to figure out how this money's going to be.
So you can't first say they're going to pull those funds back or leave them? Or
I don't. And
when I'm hearing this, I'm thinking, we got another thing to keep track of and money going here and there, and when does so-and-so get their money and when do we expect it? But if they're handling it,
we've asked a lot of questions.
I can't remember how much is there, but the little bit of money that we've already collected that was sent to us. Yeah. It wasn't that kind of money,
Like I say, it is still,
and I apologize, that I don't have all the answers, but this is very much a learning process for all of us, and we have been asking a lot of questions in the meetings and independently of the Lutheran Services trying to figure out exactly how we're going to handle this. But the
indication I got was
they were going to handle all the accounting end of this.
And that was basically
the way I understood it from the settlement agreement, is that that was going to be their headache.
Ms. Jackie, when I talked to them, because I've been pushing for like a hard deadline date, because I want that for all of myself, because I don't want to. And all she tells me is there's no specific deadline, just as soon as possible. That's every time I talk to her. And the way I take it is, just like with our healthcare coalition grant, the Lutheran Services is almost acting like the grant manager. So, and they haven't told us whether they're going to give us the lump sum on the front end, or whether it's going to be like our other grant where we submit itemized invoices every month that shows exactly what we spent, and then it's a reimbursement. So
and there's
really haven't given us a lot of good answers. Okay. But the only hard answer they've given us is the 176.
So, and we're not going to lose that.
No, sir, but they did say as soon as possible.
Okay.
So.
And they've been talking about putting a program online under their DCF
logo
and everything so that we can kind of track, and it sounds like we're going to be submitting invoices and stuff that way. But again, it is so much in the very beginning stages. That's the reason, yeah, the Sheriff and Drug Coalition hadn't been to the second meeting, but they only missed one meeting. And that was a little bit of miscommunication between them with us that, hey, we're ready for all the parties to come to the table, versus they were still working with us trying to make sure we understood how they were functioning.
And they did advise us from, they estimated the recurring payments would be about 50% of the initial amount, because the initial amount is a big chunk, and then after that it's about half is what she estimated. But she also did advise us there's a secondary lawsuit, and they expect more funds to become. She said it probably wouldn't be as big as the initial one, but they do have another lawsuit because they're going after all the pharmaceuticals. All the ones that produce mass produce opioids, they're going after them. But I heard there's another lawsuit that I just heard about the other day.
It is. We mentioned it in here.
Yeah. And the reason why Darren's been really chasing this is because we heard about this a year and a half, 2 years ago at our state legislation. They told us it was coming down the pipe then. So, I mean, every time we show up at a meeting, he's been asking when he's coming, when he's coming, when he's coming. So, we've been chasing that for 2 years.
I just want to make a quick comment for people that might not be aware. Lutheran Services of Florida is an entity that actually provides free one-year rehab to people that have needs. They have a facility in Tallahassee. They have one in Orlando for women, and they have one in Jacksonville. So Lutheran Services has been in this business for a long time, and they actually audit us on our recovery services. We have a little bit of recovery services, and although we don't receive the funding for that, they still come in and do our audits. So they've been in the business a long time, but they are very strict. And
as long as we don't lose it. We know I don't want to lose it.
And I didn't get that invitation at any time that, you know, they were going to pass it back, because it's basically been tagged for Dixie County based on the percentages and everything. And the other lawsuit was one that I mentioned to y'all that we did get notice of, that we are included in that once it ever settled, that whatever that is.
Okay. Is that it, Ms. Chayna?
That's it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Ms. Hickenbottom?
The only thing I have, a couple years ago, Stevie Hutchison brought to my attention that there's a Connex trailer at the county yard full of clerk documents. And we went out there and looked at it one day in the summer, and we kindly shut the door back. Made me want to vomit. But yesterday, we went out there, and we worked all day, and sorting board from clerk. It's mildewed, it's wet, it's soggy, there's termites. But we dug through it, we sorted it, and I've got 63 boxes ready for destruction if y'all will approve them. Everything was old. It should have never been put out there to begin with. It should have been logged and destroyed before it was ever stored out there. But
that almost destroyed now.
It is.
It's pretty well.
Yeah, it's awful.
Okay. We need a motion.
Yep.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen, second Mr. Stevenson, and Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Thank you. Do y'all have anything?
No, ma'am.
That's all I have.
So, Commissioner items. Mr. Wood?
The only thing I've got is give me an update on hit and landing, Mr. Paul.
Commissioner Wood had requested some signage down there. That signage has been ordered through the road department.
Right.
I'm not sure exactly what the status is on it. Also, the lighting that you had requested down there, that service has been requested through Central Florida Electric, and that agreement has been signed, so we're just waiting on them to place those lights.
Good deal.
Good deal.
We need those lights out there. It's really, really dark at night around there. That's all.
Mr. Osteen?
Yes, I have a couple things, and I'll be real short.
Thank you.
The
I've been getting frammed with calls on both sides of the river from businesses, commercial fishermen, and fishermen about the sailboats. Not having lighting anchored in the river.
Middle.
Yeah, in the middle of the river. And also the ones that's up on the boat. And me and Wayne had a meeting with the FWC and all that. It's just a slow process. And I believe, Mr. Paul, you had a one-on-one with one of the representatives that was down there.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chris Wynn, he's with FWC, the North Central Regional Director. He was at our office yesterday concerning another meeting. We spoke about that issue down there in the St. Hatchie River with the vessels and all there. He said that FWC has increased their patrol in that area, doing compliance checks, and they're also in the process of trying to develop a plan moving forward on how they address all the their vessels and the sailboats that are mooring in the river. But as you well know, the river government moves slow, but he did assure me that they are working on that issue, and the guys are in the area trying to do that every day, sir.
I wish, you know, on FHP, if you leave a car right there on the side of the road, they're going to tag it in 3 days. They're going to come get it.
Yep. And then a week, it's gone.
Yep.
A lot of these sailboats that's anchored in the middle of the river don't even have lights on them at night. I mean, it's very dangerous. I wish
I got tickets for facing on letters. Yeah. I got tickets for that. Come on. They ain't got time to be checking sailboats.
Anyway, I just want to let everyone down there. We are working on it, and I'm working with Taylor County with it, trying to get it resolved. That commissioner is just as adamant as I am trying to get them out of the way, get them loose. The other thing, the striping on the Gina Highway has really been nice. A lot of the older folks has wanted to thank each and one of everybody that had an involvement in it. They want to tell y'all thank you. And the last thing I have, I'll be going out of town next week with my family, my mom and my aunt. They haven't really spent time with each other since they was kids. And my aunt's beat cancer 3 times, has come back on us, so I'm taking them over overseas where I go on vacation every year. And where they can spend time together. And for people that need to get a hold of me, I'm gonna be on WhatsApp on my personal cell phone at 352-356-0882. And my Europe phone that I use is 352-316-6528. And I'll be 6 hours ahead of you, but call me anytime. I will return your call. Any needs, any concerns, just call me. And I just want to thank everybody for what they do for this county and helping everybody like we do. That's all I have. Thank y'all.
I don't really have anything other than I wish everyone to pray for employees recently out of wrecks in the hospital, recovering, and pray for him and his family, and appreciate everybody in the county, what they do, and just all try to stay safe.
Tim Johnson's brother also had an accident yesterday that needs to be prayed for.
Oh, what? Mm-hmm. Which one?
No.
Ooh, okay. Mm.
Oh,
okay.
All right. Well, we've had a good meeting. Good-looking crowd, and I think we need to keep, there's a lot of people that's sick in our county that we all don't know about. So I just say let's just pray for our whole county, the sicknesses, you know, and it's all in the good Lord's hands. So we just got to believe in that and pray for everybody, pray for the ones who's gotten wrecks, the ones who's had accidents, and let the good Lord handle it, and I want to thank each and every one of y'all again. And now it's y'all's turn.
I have a quick question. Is there an update on the paving before you move the line? I see them,
sir. So they have started that process. They're doing geotech services and surveying, and then at some point, this other crew that we use for design building.
Mm-hmm.
We have a meeting with them, I think, next week or update. but I'm going to be executive for any deal now. So probably sometime in the spring that project will get designed and go out for bid for some time for the summer. So all of that planning and design is now. It has started.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else?
I got a question. I live over in Swanee River Heights.
Mm-hmm.
State your name, please.
State your name.
My name is Mike Heath. I live over in Swanee River Heights. We've been in there since 1977. It's one of the first subdivisions in the county, I believe, or close to it. Back when they put that subdivision in there, they ran in there, they put easements through there and all kinds of stuff, but then what they did is they set these lots up. Some of them are less than a quarter of an acre, and on a quarter, less than a quarter of an acre, we're talking 0.22 acres, it's hard to put a septic, a well, and all that in there. Well, now I find out that on my way home, I see land's been cleared over here on the right side. There's been two loads of lime rock brought in there, load put on 0.22 acres, another one on 0.22 acres. And the owner is Dixie Tiny Homes, Incorporated, out of Tampa, Florida. So I've heard putting three tiny homes in there. There's a question on what a tiny home is it RV, tiny home, or whatever. But I just don't think on 0.22 acres that you can put much of a dwelling in there. Sorry, I didn't want to drag you into this.
Generally, I think you got to have close to a half acre to meet setbacks.
I'm sorry.
Generally, you got to have close to a half acre to meet setbacks.
You got to have setbacks.
I mean, we got other subdivisions like Jim Lands over there. You have to have dang near four lots to be able to put something on it. That was small.
I mean, this goes back to, y'all know this as well,
the
well and the septic, the distance between the two. Because it is an existing subdivision, those are legal lots. They might be non-conforming, but they're legal lots. They can build on, and that's that man's right to build property. The one area that you'd identify, he had an RV special exception on one of those. And so the terminology that we see on TV for tiny homes, in our terminology, we consider them RVs.
RV.
They're on tires, they're on wheels. Those are classified as RVs in our opinion. What he calls his LLC, what he calls his entity on that property has no bearing on us.
So he's implying. And the other thing is, it's all wet in here, so what kind of septic is he going to put in?
Mr. Stevenson?
So, I mean, that's
start with, if it's less than an acre, they're going to have to put in that what they call the NS250, which is a high anaerobic system. That system is going to be somewhere around $15,000 just cost. And they still have to meet the
setbacks,
and they still have to meet the be above the 10-year flood elevation, so many square feet. They still have to meet all that criteria to be able to get one.
Okay. Well, I know the property's been cleared. There's two loads of dirt sitting there waiting to be cleared out for pads. And I know we probably got permitted, probably ain't saying, I don't know, who knows. But anyway, and it gets wet in there, so, I mean,
It's got to be above, I think it's above the 10. It's got to be above the 10 or 2. Okay. I think it's above the 10. He's got to be above the 10, have so many square feet to have to do a topo survey and have so many square feet to be able to get a valid septic tank. Because you're not supposed to bring any fill into the regulatory floodway per Swanee River Water Main.
He's not in a floodway right there. He's in a flood zone. He's just not in a floodway.
Well, if he's in a flood zone, and it's possible he could do a mounted septic tank, but when you do that on those small lots, it takes up so much more space.
There's so many of these little small lots in there that, you know, we've got an RV neighborhood in there before, you know.
But if it's pre-platted, ain't a whole bunch. Like I said, the gem lands over there off of 55A, those lots are 25 feet wide. And the company up north. It was a selling advertisement. They own a dealership. You bought a car, they give you a piece of property in Florida.
attentive and looking at that. And here shortly, come January, you'll see that the local planning board will be set up. And then that will be another set of eyes on watching growth management. Because at the end of the day, you're planning for it, and you're monitoring it, and you're watching it. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
We got a question right back here.
One other question on for your information on small lots.
Yes,
if they don't do them right, they'll kill themselves because you have to pre-do all those, set them up where the wells and septic goes in certain locations. Mm-hmm. Because if you put the well on one side and septic on the other, and the other guy over there's got a well on that one, you're going to kill the ones in between because they can't meet setbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Just wanted to clarify.
So what state's your name?
Sorry, Lee Weinberg. If somebody puts in a tiny home or tries to put a tiny home, they need a special exemption because it's considered an RV?
Right.
Thank you.
And how long are those good for, Leon? Special exemptions?
They're renewed yearly. Yeah. And if you add it up at the end of the day, the way we've got it set up, if I may be wrong, but by the time you pay the RV special exemption and the garbage and all that, you're paying more taxes than someone that's got a residence.
That'd be $610.
Yeah, there's times when you see people who have these smaller lots that have the RV special exception on there. By the time they pay their land tax, their special assessments, mm-hmm. and then the renewal on it, they're more paying than if they had a homestead exemption on a small home, a small house.
Are they allowed to take that special exemption, put an RV in there, then turn around and rent it out for $600 a month?
That is that is not
correct.
They
can't do
that.
They can't do that.
Good. I'm glad you know that.
Now, he can apply the special exception, have it all set up, everything be legal, and then sell it. And then that, mm-hmm. go with the property owner.
Yep.
There's nothing to stop him from doing that.
Where is that?
Any other questions? Anybody else want to say anything? Need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second. Motion. Second. And a second, Mr. Wood.
You want me to carry this stuff tomorrow?
Check from there.
I don't want to leave it there.
Probably.